Drop down to the 8th verse. Starts off with just blepo. Blepo means to look with your eyes, right? Paul says, look. Don't let anyone take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit, down from the traditions of men, down from the principles of the world. That is the elements of religious training or ceremonial precepts. That's what's described by saying the principles of the world and the traditions of men, and not down from Christ. Paul is jumping up and down here going, look, don't go here. Don't allow yourself to be misled through the elements of religious training or ceremonial precepts and not after Christ. And again, as we've walked through this now for several weeks, keep saying this as if you didn't know it, we're not Jews, right? So we don't have that law set out there. However, the religion, Christianity, has been made into a religion through the traditions of men, and much of that is not, quote, after Christ. And remember when we went all the way back to how important it was, we spent like a week and a half, but a whole week for sure, talking about how the Word of God got into the hands of the common men and women, obviously, and how for centuries the people didn't have the Word, and the men who had placed themselves in charge, they were saying, we're going to tell you what it is. We're going to tell you what you need to do. We're going to tell you how you need to do it. We're going to write these things down for you. In fact, they actually write the ordinances. They write them down and say, here's the ordinance, here's what you're going to keep, right? It's all a direct parallel, okay? I just made up a new word. It's a correlation. That would be a correlation that is also parallel, right? I like that. I think I'll keep that one. That's what we're talking about. And again, Paul is writing this 2,000 years ago, almost, to us. We get to see it. Look, don't let anyone take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit, down from the traditions of men, the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, so I'm doing a lot of talking. Let's get the picture right. We're to come into the knowledge of the mystery of the Christ of God, not be deceived from the customs and the traditions, the religious things out there, the principles that are in the world of men, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Y'all remember several weeks ago, I know I had a couple of raised eyebrows, when we talked about that the early church from Ephesians 3 is what I'm referring to. I believe it's the 18th verse, where it says that into you will be filled all of the fullness of God. And I told you that in reading a lot of things, I had come to understand that the early church, when they talked about fullness like that, what they meant, what they actually used, the words they used were the totality of divine powers. That's what they thought about. The totality of divine powers. The totality of divine powers. So when Paul was writing to them and saying that you would come to experience the knowledge of the purposeful good will of God, that hyperbolo exceeds physical reality or human knowledge, so that into you may be filled all of the fullness of God. And I told you, and some of y'all went like, oh, no, you know, the totality of divine powers. Because that kind of phrase, because of all of our religious tradition, that kind of phrase freaks us out a little bit. Like, what are you talking about? You know, me? I mean, I can't, I'm not me. No, the whole church there at Ephesus. This that Paul is writing here, now you understand exactly, looking at his words, what he's talking about. He's talking about all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's that? The totality of divine powers. God is God, right? If it's the fullness of God, the Godhead in a body, then that means in Jesus was all of what God is there in the body, right? And that's what he's saying very plainly. The totality of divine powers was there in him. And everybody says, yes, amen. That was Jesus, right? But then you continue on and it says, and you are plerao. Some translations use complete. Some say fulfilled. No, plerao means filled, filled up. You are filled in him. That ought to float your boat. You are fulfilled in him who is the head of all arche and authority. We'll leave that. We'll get there in a second, okay? I know some of you, most of you don't care. But the word there, plerao, is a perfect participle middle voice. Okay? The perfect tells you that it happened in the past, but it's affecting the present. It may have happened then, but it's affecting what is now. And the middle voice there says, you didn't do it, it was done to you. Understand that? Okay, it was done to you. He said, you have been filled with him. He's writing to the church at Colossae, these people, he's already saying, you have been doing the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the totality of divine powers. And when we use those words, our mind goes, whoa, what are we talking about? But actually, all that's being described in modern day vernacular is out from the first chapter of Acts, which simply says, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And the first chapter of John, where John said, Jesus is going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Well, we have that thing now, and now it's a religious phrase. But that's what happens when you are being filled with the totality of divine powers. You are being filled up with the Spirit of God in a body exactly like Jesus. And Paul says this point blank. It all dwells in him. You're in him. He's in you. Now it's dwelling in you. You're being filled with him.